We need to develop a spiritual armor that is often only developed through conflict. If you try to please everybody, you're going to be stressed out and you'll quit, you'll burn out and you'll be frustrated. But if you forget all that and you just say, there is one person that I want to please and honor, and that is Almighty God. Those who leave and unfollow, wish them well to the glory of God as they go follow somebody else. God is not limited by the lack of your celebrity. God often uses nobodies from nowhere.
Yeah.
With nothing to offer except a heart that is fully surrendered to Him. Go for depth.
Yeah.
God will take care of the breadth of your influence.
Welcome back to the Salty Podcast. Today we have an exciting guest. You might know him from the show Growing Pains, the movie Fireproof, Left Behind. And Hunter's here with me to also just be a part of this chat, and I'm just so excited to dive in. So without further ado, here is Kurt Cameron.
Hey, what's
Kurt.
Up, you guys?
What's
Thanks
up?
For having me on the Salty Podcast.
Yes.
I'll try to be as salty as possible when when you get started.
Yes, we're so excited to talk to you and just to get to know more about who is Kurt Cameron. And I know we have some exciting topics to discuss and some big news at the end that we're going to share of Kurt's latest project. So I guess we're just going to dive right in. Kurt, so I know you kind of grew up in the Hollywood world, and I'm curious how, when you became to know Jesus, like, did you grow up knowing Jesus, or was that something that changed during your Hollywood career?
Other than John the Baptist, I don't know of anyone who came out of the womb knowing Jesus. I certainly didn't until I was about 17 years old. I was introduced to Christianity and the gospel when I was an atheist at the time, and there was a cute girl on the set of Growing Pains who was one of my co-stars. She invited me to come hang out one weekend, and I went to this church that she and her family went to, and I heard the gospel for the first time. So living in Hollywood is not the place you would think someone would convert to Christianity, especially an atheist who was on a popular television show and doing great. I didn't think that God had anything to do with my future. I thought God was just the figment of people's wild imaginations or some sort of an emotional crutch for those who felt like they needed lots of help. But personally, I couldn't really bring myself to believe in invisible beings, creators. I felt like that just flew in the face of science and everything else that I wanted to be about. But much to my surprise, I realized that capable, intelligent doctors, scientists, philosophers, historians, archaeologists were firm believers in some sort of a creator, and many of them Christians. And as I began to listen to a bunch of these arguments, I said, you know, maybe I don't know everything. And clearly, I don't know everything. And when I was sitting in my car one day thinking about the fact that I would die at some point and discover if God does exist and if there is a heaven, I knew that I wouldn't be going because I was an atheist. I never thanked God for the air that I breathed or for keeping my heart beating at night when I'm asleep. And this idea of sin and the need of God's forgiveness and Jesus and rising from the grave and the day of judgment and heaven and hell really was on my mind all the time. And I decided I would pray. So I prayed and asked God to show me the truth. And I began going to church with another friend who gave me a Bible. I began to read that, and getting answers to my questions, became persuaded that I wanted to have faith in God, and I wanted to be forgiven of my sin, and I wanted to be on, I wanted to be on God's team. I wanted to be on heaven's roster, and I wanted to live my life for the reason for which I was created. And that was the beginning of my spiritual walk with Christ when I was 17 years old, which was about 40 years ago, or 35 years ago. And boy, I'm so glad that God saved me.
Yes, praise
I'm
God.
So
That's that. I love that. And so you were on the set of Growing Pains during all that transformation.
Yeah.
How was that?
I was on the, I'm sorry. I was just going to
go ahead.
Say that I was on the set of Growing Pains, and I wasn't looking for God by any means. And my pastor at the time of my conversion reminded me of something really important that I've always remembered. He said, Kirk, it's not often that people come to Christ in a real way in California, let alone Hollywood, on the set of a TV show. He said, but if anybody ever asks you, how did you find God in Hollywood? He said, remember, you didn't find God. He wasn't lost. You were lost and he found you.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that's the correct understanding of what happens when any of us come to faith in Christ. God is not lost. He's not lonely. He's not incomplete without atheists turning to him. He's kind and gracious to find wayward sinners like me and you and everyone else and graciously bring them home.
Amen.
Yes, that's so good and so true. And I feel like listeners listening, a lot of times people are like, okay, well, where do I start? How do I find God? But just right there, it's like he's there. He's found you. But I feel like the way of the world, we put up such a wall. And it's almost like sometimes it's impossible to break that down to know he's right there. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. That's awesome. So
yeah, and something else, you know, we wouldn't know any of this stuff without the scriptures. I can look at the sky right now, and I can look at there's a beautiful Chinese magnolia tree in front of me, and spring is in the air, squirrels are running around, and it's beautiful, and all this points to God. The heavens declare that God is there. The great big cosmic no-brainer is that there is a creator, that he's powerful, that he is capable, that he is amazing. But that's all enough to send us to hell as well. Mm-hmm. The scriptures say in Romans that it's the things that have been created by God that leave us without an excuse. And our own conscience bears witness to the fact that there is a God. So what we have to remember is that the wall that's between us and God, if there is a wall and we feel like we can't get to God, that's not a wall that God has placed there. He's put the great big miracles in front of our eyes of creation to say, here I am. It's not a matter of evidence. The wall, the scriptures tell us, is our own sin and our own stubborn love for things other than God. And that sin creates the wall between us and God that comes down through repentance and faith. Yes. So if we go there, you know, lowly and humble and say, oh God, please forgive me for my unbelief. Show me and reveal the truth to me. Turn me away from what's wicked. I want to honor you and obey you. Now the blinders start to come off, the wall comes down, and then you begin to see God and all of his goodness and his kindness and his mercy and his glory.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
So whenever you had that radical transformation, how did that affect you? Like, was it like an instant things you were doing? You could see like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be doing that anymore. Or even on set, like how did it affect like friendships, or how did your mind transform because you were accepting God?
I wanted to be with believers, whereas before I just kind of thought they were weird. reading a book about the, you know, called the Bible. I thought believers, churchgoers, Christians, whatever, were just kind of strange and cringy. But so new friendships began to form. Older friendships, some of them fell away.
Yeah.
Because you start to realize, well, these people really are leading me down a path that I don't want to be going down anymore. Mm. So my language, began to go from, you know, filthy and dishonoring to God to language that began to, I wanted it to build other people up, and I wanted it to be good and pleasing to God. And the projects that I was working on, from Growing Pains and other things, I wanted to be projects that were consistent with what was important to me and what I felt was good for the world. So rather than just, hey, let's go do this because I can make a lot of money doing this, or this will make me popular, or whatever other type of reward, it was like, no, I want to actually do things that are going to express my gratitude to God for what he's already done for me, especially when I didn't deserve it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you had some. So how did you handle like the backlash of your, so then pretty much then and now, how do you handle the backlash from those that are Christians and those that are not, like your friends at the time of your transformation, and kind of what are you going through now and how do you deal with it?
When I first came to, when I pulled my head out of the sand of atheism and unbelief, and I opened my eyes to the truth of the gospel and of God, I thought everybody would be as excited as I was. You know, kind of like, hey, y'all, I just found the cure to cancer. Actually, it's even better than that. It's the cure to death.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus says that he's giving eternal life to those who believe in him. And even when you die, yet you don't really die. You live forever and you never die. Like, come on, I'll show you where you can find this. And some were like, yeah, no. What do you, you know, you're into some cult. This is weird. Don't push your stuff on me. Which something you'd never expect if you just found the cure to cancer or something, even more valuable. But I then realized, oh yeah, I'm now one of the people I used to think was a wacko. Yeah. And now I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So I kind of understood that. And as far as backlash goes, it is easy to think, wow, we're persecuted. They don't want us to, you know, what? They don't want us to pray in school. Oh, you know, they call us haters and judgmental, you know. Listen, if you read a little history or just go on over to Africa or go over to the Middle East, and you have Christians being lit on fire, beheaded, sawn into, fed to animals. This has been the history of persecution for Christians, and we don't know anything about that, relatively speaking, here in America. I'm very careful to say, you know, that I've experienced a lot of heavy backlash, because I don't think that I have, although there's been, you know, going against the cultural grain and some people who obviously don't like me at all. Google me and we can find lots of haters out there. But at the end of the day, I believe that it's the trials and the tests and the challenges that forge our faith during this life. It's going through the heat and the fire in whatever form that comes to you that helps you to forge your convictions and develop a spine of steel, tougher, thicker skin to be able to deflect the fiery darts of the evil one. We need to develop a spiritual armor and a vitality that is often only developed through conflict and battle training, right? I can go down to San Diego right now and find a bunch of Navy SEALs out there on the shore, shivering and chattering their teeth and breaking their teeth because it's so cold. And you say, why on earth do you do these things? And why would the sergeants put you through it intentionally? Well, because it battle trains them for very important missions ahead. And I believe that God allows us to go through things and even places us in difficult situations to battle train us for very important missions ahead.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing with you right now and with me right now. It could be physical challenges, relational challenges, financial challenges, emotional challenges. But as the scriptures say, count it all joy, knowing that God is not tempting you, but he's training you as a child, which is evidence of his love for you.
Yeah.
He doesn't abandon you. What he does is he engages with you to develop hope and patience and character and joy in the midst of challenges, because that's making you more like Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like that shocks a lot of people, is how they'll see you go through a difficult situation, or they see it, you're receiving a lot of backlash, and they're like, so how do you remain through all that? How are you still positive? How are you still joyful? And the only answer is Jesus. I mean, he's with us and he has gone before us. And it says in scripture that, I mean, we're going to be persecuted for his name. And that's a good thing, because it's for him. And so I love how you touched on that. And it's comforting to know that it's okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just doing what we do and being in the social eye and all that, and a lot of times, unfortunately, we've felt like we've received more backlash from Christians just based on they see us doing things that maybe they wouldn't have do, or it just goes in that. And so have you received any hate?
What kind of stuff? I'm just curious. What kind of stuff do you get backlash on? Like, what do you do? Like have tattoos and like drink a beer, or are you like, you know, embracing, you know, aberrant teachings, or you cussing and swearing? Like, what are people getting upset about?
Right. And really none of that. I mean, yes,
well, I have tattoos,
Hunter does have tattoos. So
yeah, I figured the tattoos, but what else? I mean,
honestly,
I mean, okay.
Like we went to Hollywood, for a collab or whatever, and just being there, like it's not, we didn't do anything that was bad or not questionable.
Yeah.
We were just there, but they said, I can't believe you're even going to Hollywood. And, you know, and for us, like, yes, we have to be mindful of what, yes, people see, and we don't want to.
Wait a minute. People were upset that you guys went to a Hollywood collab thing. Was it, and that it wasn't a Christian thing. It was just sort of a mainstream thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they thought that equals you're compromising.
Yes. And so it, you know, you get, oh, we're disappointed in you, unfollow, you're not a true Christian. Mm-hmm. Like if they don't personally know us, they don't know the heart. And so for me, I'm like, we know the heart of it. Mm-hmm. We take everything through a God filter. We're going to mess up. We're not perfect. And sure, are there things we might do that, you know, even though to us, we feel like we're fine and doing what the Lord wants us to do, because there's so much that goes behind the scenes too, like just conversations that were had there about Jesus. And we don't put all that out to be seen because
we can't film everything we do.
Right.
Yeah.
And so anyways, yeah, a lot of backlash from that. It caused a lot of confusion. And I was upset with Christians that I was like, you're throwing stones at me. When if you were really truly worried about us being Christians, like, wouldn't you want to uplift us or pray for us and be like, if they thought we were going down a different path, which we weren't. I will say it's more, for me, it's harder to receive backlash from Christians. Now, we can take it both ways. I can take it as accountability because I always do self-reflect when I receive backlash from Christians. I'm like, okay, well, what is this? Does this align? All of that. So accountability is very important. But when it's just from unfollowing you, so disappointed in you, all this, I'm just like, aren't we on the same team?
Yeah.
How would you, like, what is your advice about that? Or have you received things like that? And how do you deal with that?
Thank you for explaining that. And we don't know each other all that well, right? And I'm an actor. I could be faking this whole good Christian guy thing.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even know it. So only you know what you're all about, what your heart values, and your secret life that nobody else sees. So honestly, the only, if you're asking for advice, I would say do what is right and honoring to the Lord. If you try to please everybody, you're going to be stressed out and you'll quit. You'll burn out and you'll be frustrated. But if you forget all that and you just say, there is one person that I want to please and honor, and that is Almighty God, and then let the chips fall wherever they fall. Those who leave and unfollow, wish them well to the glory of God as they go follow somebody else. You don't want people who are just dragging you into religious boxes that are so conservative and restrictive that not even Jesus would feel comfortable there. He wants to hang out with the sick people who need the doctor. That's not licensed to sin, but it is understanding the mission that we're here to be light in a dark world. We're here to be salt in a corrupt culture. We are here to advance the light and finally extinguish the remaining elements of wickedness.
Yeah.
So I wish more Christians would go to Hollywood. I wish more Christians would go to Washington, D.C. I wish more genuine Christians who are all about honoring God and advancing the kingdom would become lawyers, actors, singers, songwriters, politicians, bankers, and everything else. Because why? because these are the levers that shape the world our grandchildren will be living in. And if we keep exiting out of there to stay on my little Christian couch behind my microphone on my podcast, where it's nice and safe and I have my Christian chicken soup with Chick-fil-A delivered to my house, we're going to effectively marginalize ourselves and we'll be the little Christian ghetto that doesn't affect the world. And then they'll snuff out the ghetto. So don't do that. Be a leader, not a follower. Don't be a whiner and a complainer. How about we have an attitude of winning and creating the culture rather than being afraid of it?
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
Anybody listening can relate to that. People still in school or at their jobs, because some people, like, you don't have the opportunity to be in the spotlight like this. If, you know, if they're just like, well, how do I be a Christian and be a leader in my daily role at the bank or the grocery store or whatever said job is, what would your words of encouragement be to people? To anyone who is like, well, I'm not going to be out there, mm-hmm. but what are little practices daily I could do?
Yeah. Don't worry about that. God is not limited by the lack of your celebrity. What I mean by that is God often uses nobodies from nowhere with nothing to offer except a heart that is fully surrendered to him to do his biggest work. He uses, religious people and irreligious people. He converts sinners and murderers and turns them into his saints. And he tells us that when we do good deeds and when we pray, we shouldn't be doing it out in the open to be seen by other men and gain their praises. God doesn't need all of that stuff. He says, well, go into the secret place. Go duck out in your closet. Pray to me there in secret. I'll hear you in secret, and then I'll reward you and amplify the power of your faith in me publicly.
Yeah.
So don't worry about the platform. I don't have the world's biggest platform, but I got a decent sized platform. You guys have a platform. People are listening to us right now, but God doesn't need either of them. Yeah. He doesn't need either any of our platforms. In fact, he's kind enough to let us use them, but what's far more important than my celebrity influence on a culture and people I don't know is the platform that I have as a father to my 6 kids and the audience that I have with my one wife to love her and to represent God to her and to represent God to my children. How? By my loving them and caring for them the way God cares for me. It's not based on my performance. It's not based on how talented I am or how moral I am. It's based on his commitment to me. So the best work I think any of us will ever do will be the work that you do in your prayer closet. It will be the condition of your heart and the way you care for the people closest to you, like your family and your friends. And if you have an opportunity to influence people beyond that with something on social media or something greater than that, that's gravy.
Yeah.
Go for depth.
Yeah.
God will take care of the breadth of your influence.
Love that. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Kirk. I feel like that's so good. That's the good stuff right there.
Yeah.
All right, Hunter, I want to know, pick one tattoo. Give us the story.
He has lots of stories.
Yeah.
I know that there's too many for our time frame, but you could pick one. I want to hear the story.
Okay. I have the lion right here. My mic's kind of in the way, but the lion.
Oh, look at that.
I've had it for several years, a long time. Probably 6 or 7 years now. And it kind of started with, we were at the Motion conference in Birmingham, and it was actually Levi Lusco. If you've heard of him, he was preaching a message, and the whole entire message just really resonated with me. That was a time where we were, or me personally, I should say, were I was really starting my real relationship with the Lord. It was kind of new to me. I didn't really grow up in church, but around 16, 17 is when I was really exposed to it, I would say. The message itself was based around, like, the eye of a lion. And Yeah,
and not the eye of a tiger.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it definitely made a big impact on me. I would say that was one of the turning points in my life, was like me, like I said, really starting my relationship with Christ and turning my life over to him.
That's an awesome looking lion, man. Whoever did it did a great job. Well, hey, I know this is I kind of flipped the tables here asking you questions. I know you had another question that you were gonna ask me,
yes.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to, because you were bringing up like your children and your wife, uh-huh. and all that. And, you know, we're parents. We have a almost 3-year-old, and then I'm pregnant with a little boy. And so we are at the stage of, you know, when it was just us, all we thought about was us and, okay, how our walk in life with God, like, what are we going to do? Well, really having kids has, our mind shifts have changed in a lot of ways of, okay, how can we be disciples to our kids? How can we disciple our own children? Like, you have written children's books and you're uh-huh. passionate about
yeah
our kids. And so I do want to dive into that a little bit and talk about your newest project. Because I honestly, what we were nervous to have kids mm-hmm. in this world, because I was like, how do you raise strong, Christ-like minded kids in this world? If it feels like it's getting worse and worse, you are coming out with a new show. So I really want to talk about that, because I'm excited about that, because it is hard when you turn the TV on and you want mm-hmm. your kids to be educated, or you don't know what's going to come on. You don't know what your kids mm-hmm. are going to be exposed to.
I understand. My wife and I have 6 children, and they're grown now. And now we have a little granddaughter who's coming on the way. So God bless you for having children. I hope you have a whole bunch of them. Have lots and lots. I believe that the only reason you're nervous about having kids in this dark world is because many, many Christians over the last couple of generations, at least, have lost sight of a victorious view of the world. And we're so busy waiting for the rapture to get out of here and to leave this world that we've neglected it, and we've handed it over to people who have terrible ideas and are beginning to strip away all of your liberties. Your morality's going down the tubes, your television, your school, churches, all of this stuff is crumbling and deteriorating because good people who love God and love their families and love his word and love their country are not in the positions of leadership. So how do we turn things around? Get in positions of leadership and start in your own home, lead your children.
Yeah.
So what you can do is say, hey, wait a minute, let's be the ones in charge of our children's education. God gave them to us, after all. We're responsible for their little hearts and their little minds. Let's shape them. Instead of waiting for the youth pastor to teach your children about God and develop their spiritual faith in Sunday school, make a habit of family devotions every day. Maybe even think about homeschooling your kids. One of the things that I'm trying to do is be a part of Christians who want to get back into creating entertainment, TV, films, and social media that honors God, so that our kids can actually have stuff that is going to build their character and that parents can trust. To your question, I've been writing children's books with a company called Brave Books. And now we've got a new TV children's program that's coming out, and it's called Adventures with Iggy and Mr. Kirk. I want to have some videos that can teach kids things like the sanctity of life from the womb to the tomb, that life is precious. That little baby that you have inside of your womb right now makes you a mom. Even without your other child. I mean, let's just say you didn't have another child. You're a mom by virtue of the fact that little baby's in there, and you're a dad, bro. You know, before your baby even comes out, and that's precious. We want our kids to know that. We want our kids to understand how important developing love and joy and peace, kindness, gentleness, and self-respect is. That pride is not a good thing. Sure, I can be proud of you for the good things that you're doing, but pride is the great vice that gives birth to every other deadly sin of wrath, lust, envy, anger, and malice. So we got to teach our children these things that are counter to the narratives that are coming at them through their phones and their school and their music and their films. That's what I'm trying to do. If you want to find out more about this TV show, Adventures with Iggy and Mr. Kirk, people could go to watchbrave.com. That's watchbrave.com and help us make it. We're not getting money from Hollywood to make it because they will ruin it. They would demand that we do certain things that would wreck the values of the show. And we want this to be biblical values, moral lessons that support the values that we want for our kids. And so we were having a crowd fundraising campaign where you get rewards for helping us make the show. And we want to fund the first two seasons. And we've got everything ready to go. We're just waiting for partners to come along and help us.
That's awesome. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like I've been a sponge sitting here.
Yeah.
I know I've asked questions and stuff, but really I'm asking, yes, for listeners, but for myself too, because this is, yeah, this was a really touching, heartwarming message for me. So thank you for sharing all you've shared. And it was great to talk to you. This is so cool.
Oh, well, pleased to thank you. Likewise. Great to talk with you both. And I wish you all of the best going forward. Stay salty.
Yes. And you too, Kirk.
And tell your mom I said hi.
I will. Oh my gosh. She was like, can I be there? And I was like, no, it's weird. Well, thank you so much, Kirk, for being here.
And thank you for having me on the podcast, and may the Lord bless you and all your efforts going forward.
Thank you so much, and ditto.
Yes, you too. All right, guys. We hope y'all enjoyed that podcast with Kirk Cameron. It was, like you said, it was really powerful and had a lot of meaning behind it.
Yeah.
It was good to hear for us and for you guys listening.
Yeah, thank you all for watching, being here.
Just so you know, you can find the podcast anywhere you get your podcast.
We'll see you next Monday. Or I will. Hunter might not be
back. Yeah. Well, who knows when Hunter will be back.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye, guys.